Gonzaga Bulldogs. They're into the Sweet 16. Big matchup with UCLA coming up out in Las Vegas. Tom Hudson joins us. Tom, great to talk to you again. When we're talking a second time, that means you're into the Sweet 16. Good to have you on again to talk about Gonzaga.
Jim, great to be back. And, man, that promo was smooth. Think about way back when you started, right? You said, hey, I'm on 1340, the end.
That was it. Right?
Now they're already reading the app stores, Google Play,
all
this app, that app, this station, we simulcast here. Boy, that's...
Yeah, all back in the 90s.
You read that like a pro. It's almost like you've done this before.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, yeah, a lot has changed since, of course, you were in town back with KJCT back in the 1990s. And of course, now, how many years is it again that you've been the Gonzaga play-by-play guy?
This is my 21st year.
21st year.
Play-by-play guy. And, yeah, I've been to every NCAA tournament since. And when I was working in TV when I moved up from Grand Junction, you know, I was here for, you know, I was fortunate I moved up in 96. And so, you know, I've seen every tournament game in this run, and it's been remarkable. And like you said, I mean, here we are talking again. I mean, 8 straight Sweet 16s. You know, I mean, I think UNC, you know, in the modern era, you know, mid-80s to early 90s, and then Duke late 90s to mid-2000s, made it to 9 straight Sweet 16s. You know, and so every time that somebody tries to make the argument that Gonzaga never wins in the tournament and that they always choke and blah, 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 you know, he's like, yeah, we haven't won a national champion, that's sure, but or championship. But if that's a standard you're held to, that when you don't win a national title, so that's a quote-unquote disappointing season, you're doing something right. And Coach Few has definitely done something right here over his last 25 years of running this thing.
Oh, no doubt about that. Tom Hudson voiced the Gonzaga Bulldogs with us today on the team. Would you consider Gonzaga in blue blood territory?
I think we're getting there, Jim. I mean, there's obviously that question about winning a national title. And I think you have to win a national title to be able to say to anybody who's like, well, you guys haven't won one yet, so you're not a blue blood. If you can win one, I think that solidifies it. Because I just think you look at the records. And, you know, it's funny, you know, in this day and age, you talk about getting old and, you know, all of just the immediate reaction stuff on you know, social media. And, you know, the guy sitting behind his keyboard and you know, and is anonymous and nobody can really, you know, have an honest conversation with them. You know, oh, they don't win, they don't do their conference is this or conference is that. And you look at what Gonzaga's been able to do in these NCAA tournaments. So, you know, last time we lost a first-round game in the NCAA tournament was to Steph Curry and Davidson, right? He's at the tail end of a Hall of Fame career. That was 2008. And we won 14 first-round games in a row. You know, and then when you look at our record against top 25 teams, you know, you go back to 2017, and I want to say we're, you know, maybe now 21-6 against top 25 teams in that stretch. Or so some number that's... this proves a lot of what people want to say, you know, that we don't win and our conference is soft. And so, you know, what we have accomplished doesn't hold any merit. I think Gonzaga is getting to that point. You know, when you look at, I mean, Jim, this year alone, we played 10 NCAA tournament teams, you know, you know, I mean, we beat Kentucky, we beat Michigan State, who's still playing. And, you know, you go through the list and look at those things. I think Gonzaga is right on the edge of that. But again, I do think, you know, to really solidify it, you know, winning a national championship would get that deal done.
Gonzaga play-by-play voice Tom Hudson with us today on the Team Sports Network. A very successful trip over to Ball Arena, over at Chopper Circle, where Gonzaga won both games, played in the region over there, and, of course, the win against TCU, 84-81. And I didn't realize this. The congratulations to Coach Few and you and Gonzaga, because you've now won the most tournament games held in Denver, surpassing Syracuse with 5 tournament wins all time over in Denver.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah,
that's
pretty cool.
That's fantastic, right? I it was funny that you say that because I was looking at those numbers. Like, okay, it's so much for us. You know, the first time we were there back in 2011, you know, we won our first round game, but almost forgot that because Jimmer Fredette got us with BYU that second, you know, year or so, or that second game. So every time you go back and talk, it's, oh, the Jimmer game is kind of what, you know, what we refer to it as. So, you know, in your mind, you're not remembering that we won that first game. So you're like, yeah, we went 1-1 that year, and then a couple of 2-0s. You know, back in 16, we won and made our way to Chicago where we lost to Syracuse. We had a chance to keep moving there, but lost that one late. So, yeah, it's been great. The city of Denver's been good, and it's nice for me, Jim. We go in there, we win some games, and, of course, me, you know, me living there, and I'm getting all the requests for, you know, hey, where should we go to eat? What should we do? I was like, well, I was here 30 years ago. I'm not really sure, but
I'm not up to date on this stuff. But
yeah,
okay.
No, but I do have a really good friend who I went to school with who still lives there and helped me out and got us some really good recommendations, and everybody was happy with that. But no, I mean, it's been great being able to go in there and to win basketball games. And I think, you know, it's close enough for us. We still get a really good following, and the crowd there was awesome. You know, I mean, you could just feel it. You know, I mean, people that were really into it. So, no, it was another good trip to Denver for us.
I thought it was kind of interesting that Anton Watson, for you, had a really good couple of games over in Denver, was averaging a double-double. He said that Denver reminded him of Spokane.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, Jim? You say that, and I tell people that quite a bit, actually. You know, I say, hey, especially back when I was in school. I mean, obviously Denver's blown up, and it's gotten a lot bigger. But, you know, it's one of those places that feels like a place that's got everything, you know, but a place that you could also get around and move around, and people are friendly, and, you know, it is. I've said that to a few people. It's interesting that Anton said that because, you know, he's a Spokane kid. I mean, he went to Gonzaga Prep down the road, and interesting that he had that to say. I didn't hear that, but yeah, I have told a few people that. Now, you know, my estimation was, you know, 20-25 years ago, but Spokane is growing a lot too, though. It's very similar to Denver in that regard, where, you know, for a while there, it was, you know, when people come to visit me, you know, my family, my friends, like, God, this place is great. Like, why don't more people live here? You know, you're like, oh, be quiet. Like, yeah, don't ruin it, you know, and we're living with some of that growth too. But that was interesting to hear from Anton, who, by the way, Jim, has just been phenomenal for us. You know, Drew Timmy gets so much credit, and deservedly so, for what he's been able to do. But as big a part of our success this year as any is Anton stepping into his role of doing everything for us. Like you said, averaging a double-double, he rebounds. He's got great feel, great hands. I mean, he leads us in steals, blocks shots, defends the other team's best player a lot of times on the defensive end. He's had a phenomenal year for us. It's, you know, it gets overlooked a lot because of you know, Drew and all the attention that he gets.
Tom Hudson, voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, with us today on the Team Sports Network. Now, it's a very familiar foe and at this stage of the tournament in UCLA. It'll be the third time that you've squared off since 2021. Second time in the NCAA tournament, we should say. But the last time you met was a classic showdown. The 93-90 overtime win by the Zags in Indianapolis in the Final Four. Jalen Suggs with the buzzer beater to send Gonzaga on in that big victory against UCLA the last time you met in the tournament.
Yeah, that was absolutely, for so many reasons, Jim, just a crazy and I'll start, yeah, we'll get out of the basketball thing. So we walk into the arena, and we were told that Miley Cyrus was going to be doing a concert between the games in the Final Four. So, okay, it was outside. No, it's going to be here. Oh, okay.
Okay.
So we go in, and we're doing our pregame show. So we walk in, and we get set up, and the speakers, and this is like a full-blown concert setup for Miley Cyrus. So the speakers are pointing directly at us. and we've got this full-blown concert going on, you know, while we're trying to do our pregame show. You can't hear each other. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I mean, you're half laughing, and you know, it's like, and half, it's like, wait, we're about to play to get to a national title game. What the heck's happening? But it was phenomenal. I mean, obviously that whole year was so crazy with everything going on with COVID and the fact that we were undefeated. And for Jalen to hit that shot was just incredible. And such a high-level game, too, right? I mean, just the number of plays that both teams made down the stretch of that thing to you know, to be at that point where it's, you know, boy, UCLA scored, and you're thinking, okay, hey, we're going another overtime. And for Jalen to pull up and hit that shot was enormous. I mean, it was huge. It was such a high-level game. Like I said, you know, sometimes, you know, some of those things, especially in these NCAA tournaments where, you know, it seems like the refs swallow their whistles so much and let so much stuff go on, and there's just no flow to games. You know, all these, you know, you see these teams that are scoring in the 70s and 80s, and they're winning games by, you know, scoring 58 or 60 points because they just turn into these football games, you know. And for that to have so much flow and to get up to 93-90 and just guys making great plays, you know, time and time again, I mean, you know, to this point, the best game that I've been associated with. I mean, it was just phenomenal. And then, you know, interesting enough, Jim, we played them at T-Mobile last year here over Thanksgiving. We had a four-team event. We played them and got after them real good. And so, you know, I'm interested. Those three veteran guys that they have, you know, have lost to us in a heartbreaker in the tournament. And then, I think we jumped them. We were up 40-18 last year when we played them and beat them by 20. It was, you know, a matchup of top two teams at the time. So it'll be interesting to see those three veteran guys, kind of how they come out and how you know, how much there's a crusade game of these guys have gotten us twice, and we need to get them back here before our time's done at UCLA.
And you're talking about two really, really good players for Mick Cronin and Jaime Jaquez and Tiger Campbell. And, you know, Jaquez at 19 points per game, Tiger Campbell, 17 points, 7 assists per game. Talked about you know, Tiger a lot with Mark Johnson that does the University of Colorado Buffaloes, because obviously the Buffs get to see UCLA in Pac-12 play. And just the job that Tiger Campbell does as a floor general for that basketball team. He does such a great job of getting them into the right offensive set, making the right decisions with the basketball.
Yeah, he's unbelievable, Jim. And it's one of those things, you talk about guard play being so important. He started every game he's been, you know, at UCLA, and this is his fifth year. He had an injury, so, you know, so he's an older guy who's, you know, played in 132 games and started all of them. He's phenomenal. He knows what to do. He knows where the ball needs to be. He can go score it if he needs to. He is an absolutely phenomenal player, you know. And then you talk about Jaquez too, you know, a guy who in this day and age where so many people are, you know, infatuated with shooting the three, and it's either shoot a three or get to the rim, you know, with all the analytics and all that other stuff that is a different story and a different conversation for a different day. But, you know, Jaquez is a guy who does it in a lot of different ways. And so, you know, it's a little bit unique. And then, you know, he can score it. He's competitive. He rebounds it. You know, you watch the way that he plays the game, and it's the way that you want your guys to play the game. And then, you know, even the Singleton kid, you know, he's using his fifth COVID year. I mean, he's played in 163 games of his career. You know, I mean, that's valuable experience, you know, across the board for them. But, yeah, those two guys, you know, Jaquez and Tiger Campbell are remarkable players. And, I mean, you see, I mean, Mick Cronin, since he's been at UCLA, he's done such a good job of getting that program back, you know, to those UCLA standards, and those guys have really led the way for him.
Yeah, you know, obviously for Gonzaga to win coming up Thursday, Drew Timmy has to play well. Anton Watson has to play well. But a guy that really is going to have a little bit of pressure on him is Nolan Hickman for you. Just had the one field goal against TCU, playing against a really good perimeter defender in Tiger Campbell. That Nolan Hickman is going to have to find a way to contribute more this time than he did against TCU.
Yeah, you know, Nolan has really been interesting, Jim, because, you know, we've had such a run of point guards that have played really well for us. You know, and I think you go back to when we kind of broke through back in 2015 and made it to the Elite Eight down in Houston when we lost to Duke. But, you know, we had Kevin Pangos, who was our point guard now. He's put together a really successful career over in Europe. And then, you know, he was followed by Josh Perkins, who was our all-time leading assist guy. You know, followed by, you know, you get to Jalen Suggs and Andrew Nembhard. We had Ryan Woolridge, who was in there for a year, who transferred from North Texas, who had a phenomenal, ridiculous year for us that nobody expected, that, you know, that got us to a point we would have been a number one seed in the tournament if COVID hadn't you know, happened. And then, like I said, and then you bring in Jalen and Andrew Nembhard, you know, two guys who are playing in the league right now. You know, and then Andrew last year was Nembhard was our guy. You know, and so Nolan, it's been a little bit of more growth. I mean, we've become spoiled here, and that, you know, it's just like insert guy here, he becomes one of the best point guards in the country. And Nolan, I think, is getting to that point where he's getting comfortable and he's figuring things out. He's been more aggressive scoring it here, you know, over the last month or so, and I think he's really getting comfortable. But you're right. I mean, you just feel like, you know, he's going to have to play well. He's going to have to make the right decisions. You know, knock on wood, we've done a great job of taking care of the basketball. I mean, I think over our last 11, we've won 11 in a row. You know, we're averaging right at 9 turnovers a game. You know, we've really taken care of the ball, which we didn't do at the beginning of the year when we were struggling a little bit. So you're right. I think he's going to have to score it a little bit more, but really going to have to take care of the basketball, because, you know, it's funny. I think when you think about UCLA historically, you know, defense isn't something that you really comes to mind, right? And now these Mick Cronin teams, and they're holding teams to 60 points a game. You know, I mean, for us, and we lead the country in scoring, we score 87.5. You know, I mean, you're going to want to try to get, you know, get out and break out and make some things happen. And Nolan's going to be a huge part of that tomorrow if we're going to be successful.
Tom Hudson, voice of Gonzaga Bulldogs, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. When you look at the numbers for UCLA, Tom, what you know about the Bruins, what's the one thing that concerns you the most about them leading up to Thursday?
Well, it's that, Jim. I think it's the defensive numbers. I mean, you're obviously worried about, you know, Hawkins, because he's the kind of guy that can get rolling and really take over a game. And Tiger Campbell's the same. I mean, you have two guys who can really, you know, have so much impact on a game and can win the game for them. But I do think defensively, that's, you know, that's where you get kind of caught up. If you can get out and run against them and get some easy buckets and get things going, I think you feel pretty good. Now, you know, Coach Hughes' teams, you know, over this run where we've been so successful, you know, can win games in the, you know, in the 60s and 70s if, you know, presented that, you know, that this is just where it's going to happen. You know, the pace isn't going to get up to where we like it. You know, they've been able to win games, but I think, you know, it's that defensive number, you know, the fact that they only, you know, allow 60 points a game. And if, you know, you're able to get out and run a little bit and get some buckets, you know, I think that plays in the huge favor of Gonzaga. So hopefully, you know, the Zags are able to do that and get out and go. And like you said, I think Nolan's going to be a big part of that, because if he can get this team moving a little bit, I think that that gives us a little bit of an advantage.
T-Mobile Arena tomorrow night. Our coverage starts at 4 o'clock with Westwood One of the Sweet 16. So where are you staying in Vegas, by the way? What's the accommodations?
You know, we're at the Park MGM, which is right across the street from the arena. So from that standpoint, it's great. We're right across from T-Mobile. So, you know, no buses, no Ubers, just load up the gear and walk across the street. So that'll be nice for sure. And, you know, we stayed at various places. I mean, the only thing is, you know, over the years, because we play our league tournament here, you know, we've tried to stay in places where maybe the casino, you know, you don't walk off of the elevator and into the casino. This isn't quite like that, what we've had in years past. But these last, I don't know, I want to say, Jim, geez, 8 or 10 years, we've been able to stay in places where, you know, you don't walk directly into a casino. But, yeah, no, it's been quite, it's been good. We got in last night and had a nice dinner. But, yeah, nice and close, and it should be fun. It's interesting having the tournament here in Vegas. You know, we've come here for years for our league tournament, but I'm kind of intrigued to see, you know, how it all plays out here with, you know, with teams coming in and that haven't played here and, you know, just kind of the fan feeling and kind of what goes on here over the next couple of days.
Yeah, you've had a couple of relatively short trips to Denver, now to Las Vegas. Not too bad flying from Spokane.
No, it's been great. It's been awesome. And you know, you look at it, we were, you know, okay, you're a 3 seed and you know, leading up those last 2 weeks, you know, so many of the guys that are the supposed experts were shipping us off to, you know, Orlando or Greensboro or Albany. And no, this was nice, especially with us playing, you know, the NCAA changes. We were trying to think back and remember the last time. You know, it used to be Thursday, Saturdays, that is where you started. You played Thursday, Saturdays until the Final Four. And if you were in the Friday, Sunday deal, you played Friday, Sunday the first 2 weekends. And then, you know, it obviously changed, you went to the Final Four. I mean, Jim, we didn't get home. I mean, we touched down in Spokane after the win over TCU. It was probably a little after 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, we were home for barely 36 hours from the time that, you know,
right.
We touched down after being in Denver to come in here. And, you know, it's interesting because UCLA, you know, they played on Saturday in Sacramento and got home on Saturday evening. So that part of it was a little bit strange. But, like you said, the fact that that we're staying relatively close made that a lot easier. I would not have liked to have been on a cross-country trip having to face that stuff. But it has been nice staying out here. And we have great fan support, you know, not only our fans, but I think just, you know, kind of being out here, we've got a lot of folks that, you know, I think when they see us, they've been rooting for us. So that's been a lot of fun.
And I'm rooting for you too, Tom. Hope you guys can get it done against UCLA tomorrow. Once again, our coverage starts with Westwood One pregame at 4 o'clock tomorrow. But if you get a chance to check out Tom,